This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 123 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the show, and tonight we've got a good one for you. Tonight we're going to go over something that a lot of our friends have been asking us about. How do you go about touring the Walt Disney Parks when it's extremely crowded? Now we're talking about the times of year around Christmas, during the summer, and coming up really soon for a lot of us, spring break. So for tonight's show, I've got Sam. Hey Sam, how's it going?
Wonderful, Ed. I love that 1, 2, 3. Easy as can be. Show number 1, 2, 3. Wow.
I know. Awesome. Cool. Awesome to be this far along too. Yeah. Along with us tonight, we've got a guest that you might remember way back when we did the camping show. Hey Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. How are you tonight?
Doing great.
Wonderful.
Doing great.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks.
Have you been camping since that show, Charlotte? I assume you've been down there again.
I have been camping probably 4 times since that show.
Nice. And I have never done it, but after listening to you and Ed talk about it, it's something that I put on a list that I want to do someday. So it sounds
Have to. Fort Wilderness is an amazing, amazing place.
Oh, it's definitely fun. Although, I think Charlotte did about as far away from camping as you could have a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the on my cruise. That was
very far away from camping.
Absolutely. And that's one reason I love Disney so much, is because I can go camp in a tent and on one trip, and another trip I can take off on to the Disney Magic and sail away. So it covers all aspects.
Oh, very true. Very true. And the best part about it is that it's the service. You expect the best and you usually get it.
Yeah.
Amazing service.
So before we get into the show about how to handle those parks when it gets really crowded, we're going to talk a little bit about the Disneyland 60th anniversary show that was on this past week. I hope everybody out there had a chance to watch it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I DVR'd it, and we've watched it twice and a half again.
That's what makes us all
so
nerds,
good.
Setting the DVR. Setting the DVR when you first saw the first promo 6 weeks ago on ABC, and you're like, wait, I got to get that.
I set the DVR. Mine actually crashed on me an hour and a half in where it went off, but I happened to be in the room when it happened, and the message came up on the screen, so I was able to really quick get it back on there. However, the second half is HD, the first half isn't, so it's a little bit odd. But I didn't miss
much.
That's
right, the second half was all the good stuff, if you ask me,
True. Now, they did talk about a lot of stuff, a couple announcements for the parks, but basically it was a commercial for what's going to be happening in the next couple of years for Disney.
For Disneyland, right?
True. That's what I was going to say.
Exactly. When I look at this, we haven't really dug into this, but I know we will later. It's the Christmas Day Parade, the Disney Parks Christmas Parade. And this year, that was a lot different than other years because they did everything at Walt Disney World. They never threw it to Nick Cannon over in Disneyland, and we saw things over there. Instead, it was all Walt Disney World, almost as if they were waiting for February to talk about the 60th anniversary, which was in 2015, not 2016. But I guess it doesn't matter when you're doing Disney math. It's still the 60th anniversary, right?
It's still in the season.
That's right.
Right. Now, the show was pretty cool. They had a lot of good stars, a lot of good announcements, and they had a little bit of technology. They had a new app, the Disney Applause app, which to me looked like it was a lot of advertising and a lot of contests, and it was supposed to work with the show. Now, during the live presentation, it did not work for me. How about you guys?
Not for me either.
I was able to download the app and get the app installed, but then there was a point where you needed to listen to the television so that the app knew exactly where you were in the program, and that mm-hmm. never quite worked for me during the live broadcast.
Right. Now, I tell you what, I found out the next day watching it on DVR, it works with the recordings. So it didn't work for me the first night, but it definitely worked for me the next day when I watched it again. And it was a little anticlimactic, to be honest with you. It was cool because it synced up to three of the songs in the special, the Elton John song. It synced up to the one song in the end, the Cars song. And what was the one in the middle it synced up to? I forget. But basically what it did is it mimicked the ears, the glowing ears.
Oh, which I didn't. So. It's funny you bring that up because it was very obvious to me that they were pushing those Made with Magic ears as part of the 60th, which at Disney World they've sort of just kind of gone away almost. You can still find them there, but not many places. That's the old Glow with the Show, which turned into Made with Magic.
Now, a friend of mine's doing a blog post for us at the Disney Nerds website, and he just mentioned about how Disney World definitely did lower the expectations for those hats. But you're right, looking at that Disneyland show, and every time I actually see anything from Disneyland on YouTube or whatever, the fireworks or the water lights and things like that, there's always an abundance of those ears.
And it has to go to the primary difference between a visitor of Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. In that Disney World, we say all the time, is 70% travelers and 30% locals, and you flip it for Disneyland. And because of that, 70% locals going to Disneyland, you bring your hat back with you.
Right.
So once you make that investment, you come back, and when you watch World of Color, when they premiered these hats, and the whole audience had them, they became part of the show. And you can see a little bit of that in the special, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. And the app was cool because it did match the lights. As the hats changed color, the app changed color with it.
It is neat.
And that's also really cool. They had some contests. What were your guys' favorite part of the 60th show?
I loved all the old clips, everything with Walt. That makes me cry every time. And I could watch any video that has him in it talking about all of his plans and goals and dreams. I just love that. And I loved mm-hmm. Dick Van Dyke. That was amazing. When he,
that was.
I knew he was behind that door. I knew he was going to come out behind that door. But when he danced, I was so happy. My teenage daughter and I, we were just cheering. We were very happy about that.
Oh, yeah. That was perfect. And that was his song. So that worked out really well.
Absolutely his song. I'll give you an interesting little nerd thing there. When he came out, my daughter immediately thought of the show that's on at the 50s primetime, not straight to Mary Poppins. I just thought that was hilarious. That's the guy that's on that show where, in that place where we have lunch in Hollywood Studios. I'm like, yeah, but there's a little more there than that. But that was awesome to see Dick Van Dyke. And you know
cool.
what, Ed? There were a couple of clips, Disneyland construction and Walt, that I don't know I've seen the little clips before. I'd heard the audio, but I don't know that I've seen the clips. One of them was that, you know, it all started with a mouse. We've heard that voiceover audio many, many, many times. But I don't know that I ever actually saw him saying that in the interview that he said it in. That mm-hmm. was cool to me. I might be a one-off there, but I don't remember seeing that video of him saying that, just those words being used in voiceover.
Sure, could be. We've heard it a long time.
Yeah. Then obviously the Star Wars stuff.
Right, the Star Wars.
I'm going to let you touch on that. But to me, while the park thing was really cool and what they're doing, Star Wars Live looks awesome. Are you kidding me? traveling music experience. Oh, I can't wait for this thing to come to my local theater. I will be there in a minute.
Amazing.
Oh, very cool. Now, the other announcement with the Star Wars was, of course, some of the new rides coming to the parks and the Star Wars land that they're bringing. Now, the announcement wasn't that great in that we saw a lot of, I guess, artwork for the future. However, it was really artwork about what the planet looked like that they're going to be trying to mimic. It wasn't really artwork of what the park exhibits were going to look like or the attractions.
The Outer Rim, right?
Right, exactly. But it was like really perfect big landscapes. So we're going to wait to see how they modify them into the park. We did see the one adventure where you're going to be flying the Millennium Falcon. Now, I hope that's going to be a little bit more involved, which I'm sure it's going to be. We're going to see more about this as we go down the road. And the other one was where you're involved in a fight between troopers, stormtroopers, and somebody else?
Yep. Not sure who the somebody else was or if they were shooting at us. But there was a little clip there where you could tell we were in a ride vehicle because there was a person sort of sitting in front of you. And you're going mm-hmm. past a screen, and on your left were multi-levels of I don't want to say stormtroopers. They're the new stormtroopers shooting at you.
Right. Now, it kind of reminded me right away over a couple different attractions in that the ride was spinning around a little bit. So it reminded me a little bit of Buzz, how your car spins. Reminded me a little of Dinosaur because it looked like you were in a vehicle going through an exhibit. Yeah. And some reason the Great Movie Ride came to mind. And I'm not sure why, just the way the stormtroopers were looking down at you. So it looks like to be a good experience.
The when I looked at it, because you're sort of going forward, and then it looks like it starts to back up a little bit before they cut away. Right, and now we're analyzing a 3.5 second clip in this entire thing.
I know, right?
but that I'm looking at that going, okay, what is that? What's that remind me of? And the first thing that I thought of wasn't Disney. It was an attraction based on a Marvel character at a theme park nearby.
Go ahead, spit it out. Say
it looked like Spider-Man. It really looked like the ride system for Spider-Man.
Okay, never been on it, so I don't know, but cool.
It did. And if that's it,
it's
awesome. But, yeah, that's what I thought. But the other thing I noticed that they never said Harrison Ford in the announcers never said Star Wars Land. They said the Star Wars Experience.
True. Very true.
So, cool.
Yeah, and we're going to shorthand it to the Star Wars Land once it gets here. But, yeah. Star Wars Experience. Okay, well, awesome. The one other thing that really stuck out, actually two things for the anniversary before we move on, was first Peach Dragon.
Never knew that was coming.
Right. They did mention it. We did mention it in a show a couple months ago as far as what was coming in the future, but there was really never any details, and I kind of forgot all about it until I saw it the other night. And the other one was the live music. Incredible. The Star Wars music. Yep. Going into the whole scene, and it was just breathless. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I just
Star Wars
really, really goose pimples over
when
that.
When that comes, and it looks like a traveling show, right? Taking an orchestra on tour. I'm there.
I've seen something similar a couple years ago where it was just the local symphony doing that, and they were doing all Star Wars music, and you know it's phenomenal.
I've seen one before that was John Williams music. So they did a little Star Wars, a little Indiana Jones, a little.
Oh sure,
it was really cool. But that's something that goes around the local symphony, like you said. Mm-hmm. This will be pretty cool. Because all you got to do is add the projections and a little bit of 3D mapping and the screens. And holy cow, that's taking all that technology, packaging it up into a roadshow, and I'm there. That's my
definitely.
Disney on ice. Let's go.
Exactly.
Now, another thing that happened last week, really exciting, was the beginning of the Disney Madness. Now, the Disney nerds do a tournament every year, and this year is no different. Sam, tell us all about it.
It is in the end of February, so March is right around the corner, so there has to be a big bracket out there for us. We have DisneyMadness.com. If you head there, it's going to redirect you to the 2016 tournament, which is Character Madness. Character Madness is pretty cool because this is big. It's all-inclusive, and we're trying to drill down to our favorite Disney character. There's 128 characters going to make this tournament. That's twice a normal 64-team bracket. So we have 16 characters from each of 8 categories. Classic Disney, Disney Parks characters, villains, Muppets, Star Wars, Pixar, Disney princesses, and Marvel. And we need right now your help to get that 16 that's going to make it. So head over to DisneyMadness.com. It's going to take you to a bracket where you can vote to up to 16 characters that will make it into the tournament. Then in early March, we'll start the first round. This is going to be fun.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait. I've already been out there voting. Charlotte, have you been out there yet?
Oh, yes. I've voted every day this week.
You can vote every 3 hours, and please do, because I tell you what, the margin between number 16 and number 17 is pretty tight in some of these.
Oh,
awesome. I mean, is the Orange Bird going to make it, or Sunny Eclipse into the Disney parks? It's that close, so you got to get out there and pick one.
Right.
Okay, great. And if you stick around to the end of the show, you'll hear the promo with a big description about it also. So tonight's topic is how to get around the Walt Disney World parks when the crowd calendar tells us it's a 10. Now, that really means it's about as crowded as it's going to get. And a lot of times when you get down there, you've already spent a lot of money. So how are you going to enjoy yourself?
So let's talk about what a 10 is first and where that comes from. One of the sponsors of the Disney Nerd Podcast, touringplans.com, does a great job of predicting crowd calendars based on the data that they've collected with years and years of data points. And as we approach Easter and spring break, it's always quote-unquote tens the week before and after Easter Sunday, which mean on a scale of 1 to 10, it's the most crowded that you're going to find in the parks, which makes it very difficult sometimes to get things done or really requires some extra planning, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. So what we're going to do tonight is throw out some of the best tips we've found in the past that have worked really well for us trying to get through these crowded times. And one of the things we're going to think about, too, is the kind of trip you're going to be on. So we'll be talking about these tips, but there's really two trips we're talking about. There's the person or family that's down there for 4, 5, 6 days, and then we have the person down there for maybe 1 or 2 days. So now the person for 1 or 2 days doesn't have the opportunity to get out of the parks as much. So we'll try to go back and forth between those two types of trips. And the reason being is I'll be taking that 2-day trip in March. Jimmy will be taking that 5-6-day trip, and then right after him, Sam will be taking a 5 or 6-day trip also.
Yeah. So what I did is went the week after Easter, when crowd calendars go back to 6 and 7 and 5. But sometimes that's not an option, right? Yeah, you have to go when the kids are off school or however it might be. So we'll land
that's
in
right.
The
right.
Yep. Very, very true. Very true. So I'm going to start out with one of my favorite tips, and one of the things I really insist that people do, whether or not it's a really crowded time, but when it is crowded, this is a must. You need to get to the park before it opens. Not just right before it opens, probably about 45 minutes before it opens, where you want to actually be up to the up in line to get your ticket taken.
Right.
To the
or fast pass scanned. No more tickets here, but we know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, sure. But basically, if you're there 45 minutes before, then what you get is the opportunity to go on any ride that you want to without a really big line. And that might be the last time that day you do that.
And if you pick the right ride first, that could happen for the first 1, 2, or 3 attractions that you're on.
Correct. Very true.
Which gets
very
into
true.
That why you do it so early is so that you can knock that out. And, you know, the other thing I'll add, Ed, Charlotte, if you've had this experience before, I have had the experience of them opening the front gates 10 or 15 minutes earlier than scheduled because of the people that are waiting.
Absolutely.
But when they do that, usually they'll let you into the park only so far. Epcot, they'll let you into past Spaceship Earth, and Magic Kingdom, they'll let you into the entrance of Tomorrowland or the entrance to Fantasyland, mm-hmm. and then they'll usually kind of line you up again for one more rope drop.
One of the cool things that it does for me and my family is gets us in so that we can get that, oh, Dad, I have to go to the bathroom out of the way, and some other – right? Because that undoubtedly that happens when
yes.
you have a family.
Sure.
Yes,
you got there as early as you could. You're on your way. You're headed to test track. Oh, I got to stop. I got to go. No. So it lets you get that out of the way, and you can prepare for that. So you got to leave that stuff into account too.
My favorite tip mm-hmm. is not only getting there early, but, I mean, definitely utilizing your fast passes for the right rides at the right times. I don't like to waste my fast passes on things that I know that I would be able to get on either early. If I get in super early, I can ride Peter Pan in the Magic Kingdom first thing, and I don't have to use a fast pass for that, because that's definitely one of those rides that the longer the day goes on, the worse that ride gets. So I want to knock that one out as soon as possible so I can move on to something else. So just making sure that you're utilizing the fast pass for the right rides, and attractions. I don't want to waste a fast pass for Wishes, which isn't going to be till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. When I pick
True.
Something, you know, at 9 or 10 in the morning instead. So I
yep.
definitely, you know, utilize the fast passes for the right things at the right times, so you can keep hitting and get the next level, next set of fast passes as soon as you can.
Right. And Charlotte hits on a big point, because you really need to know what you want to go on before you start making your plan. If you're going to get the fast passes that are work best for you, then you got to kind of quiz your family beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it's so great in today's world in that you really can experience some of these rides or figure out what they look like through YouTube or some of the great websites out there. Sam's Disney Diary has a lot of great videos about different rides and attractions that you can kind of look at.
Thank you.
As one example, no problem. But there's plenty of sites like that, and it's really cool to get their family together before the trip to kind of go over some of these things, especially when you know it's going to be crowded.
Absolutely. Doing that before you take a trip also keeps anybody from feeling let down because they miss something. If you make sure everyone in the family kind of puts in, you know, I really want to ride this, or I really want to see this parade, then everybody's expectations can get met, and no one's leaving a Walt Disney World trip thinking that they have been let down because they missed something.
Right.
You know,
definitely.
And Charlotte, you hit on a couple of things there that I think are key, and one of them really is expectations, because it's so easy, and Disney does such a great job of setting our expectations so high that you can come out disappointed. And knowing that if the crowd calendars a 10 and every park's a 10, it's going to be difficult to get to do everything.
Right.
And as long as you know that, hey, I'm going to Magic Kingdom and I want to get these five things done, and anything above and beyond those five things is a bonus, that becomes a win for everybody. So it's setting that right expectation. Mm-hmm.
Right, definitely. And the longer you're at the parks, that's easier thing to do. Basically, you can kind of break it up between days where two rope drops at the Magic Kingdom gets you on a couple rides you might not get on any other time of the week.
That's right. So, and another thing you mentioned, Charlotte, was getting a fast pass for the right attractions. And I think, I don't want to call it a rookie mistake, but I've seen people make some mistakes when it comes to picking fast passes because – an example I'll use is the Dumbos. Absolutely, my kids are going to ride Dumbo, and they still have the expectation that it is how it used to be. But today, the Dumbo queue and the little playground becomes a pretty nice break inside, out of the heat, for little ones to run around a little bit. So even if Dumbo's a 30-minute wait because there's two of them and they're going, getting a lot of people through, you're only spending 20 minutes. You're spending 20 minutes kind of relaxing, and then you're going out to ride. So I guess that's a fair question. What are the right ones to get a fast pass for? What are your go-to? I have to have a fast pass for it.
So you're just saving Dumbo till later in the day.
Saving him till later in the day, but I'm doing something like, okay, I know Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is going to be 45 minutes when rope drops, and it's never going to be any shorter than that. So I'm going to get a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And if you do it for first thing in the morning from 9 until 10, okay, that's your fast pass window, you could potentially knock out Winnie the Pooh and the Little Mermaid, and then go to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and have three things done before 10 o'clock. That's very, very possible. Mm-hmm. It's all part of planning, right?
Definitely, definitely. Now, another quick thing to remember or something to try out is when you eat your meals, try to eat your meals off the normal times.
Absolutely.
Now, at breakfast, we rarely ever buy breakfast. We usually kind of pack a couple protein bars and some orange juice or chocolate milk, and we'll eat, drink as we're getting to the park online waiting to get in rope drop. Lunch, because we've been up since about 7 o'clock, for us is about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect time because the restaurants are just starting to open, the lines are just starting to form, and we're talking mainly counter service for us. That's kind of a good opportunity. The food's been cooked. They've been cooking it all morning, so it's ready, and that kind of helps out a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Agree?
Agreed.
Sam, you come up with a brand new one.
Come up with a brand new one. So this all gets back to – where you're headed and what you're going to do. So I'm going to give you one of my favorite things to do on a busy day, right? Because we talked about, number one, you're going to get those fast passes. And we haven't mentioned yet, so I'll bring it up, extra magic hours.
Ooh, yes, extra magic hours. That's either a really good thing or a really bad thing.
You got it. So what are extra magic hours? Let's get that first. If you're staying at a Disney resort and you have your magic band, whatever you might have, you can get into one of the parks an hour before it opens to the public, or you can stay 2 hours after it closes to the public. Now, you have to check the calendar and see what's when. And by the way, it used to be 3 hours after. They recently cut it back to two. So if the Magic Kingdom closes at midnight, you can stay there till 2 a.m. If and the reason why Charlotte's yaying, because I've been here, if your kids are night owls and you've gone through, you know, the afternoon naps, go until 2 a.m. from 11:30, I'll say from after fireworks or the second parade, if there might be one, and there probably is one if it's a 10, until 2 a.m, it's almost like being there first thing in the morning. As the day gets longer, people start to disappear, and the lines end up running on to Pirates of the Caribbean as quick as you can and jumping next on attractions. So extra magic hours are absolutely key. But it's also a double-edged sword, because if you're there till 2 in the morning, you're not going to be there for rope drop the next morning. So you have to kind of plan that right. My family likes the evenings and staying out late, and I'm okay with that. And we don't try to knock down the doors the next morning. We take it a little easier, maybe hit the swimming pool at the resort, and then head to the parks.
And that's how my family tours now, too. My kids, you know, my youngest is a teenager, and they are much more apt to be late night owls. They love to close a park down, but you're never going to get a teenager up at 8 a.m. to go somewhere, or 7 a.m. even, to go to a park, because they just don't want to do that. And the night extra magic hours are our favorite time, and we definitely utilize those.
And that falls right into expectations. If you know that going down, that you're not going to be able to get your teenager up at 7 or 8 in the morning, then why try? You're on vacation, right? That just makes everybody miserable. So go ahead and let them sleep until 9 or 10 and then hit the swimming pool and then head to the parks at 2 in the afternoon and leverage that Fast Pass Plus so that you can have them waiting for you. And in fact, that's incentive for my daughter, because I've run into the same thing. Hey, we have a 9 o'clock Fast Pass Plus for Peter Pan, and it expires at 10. We have to be there at 9:30 or 10:30, right? Because it's true. That has helped out.
Sure. Now I'm going to be the devil on the other shoulder.
Sure.
And tell you my ideas about extra magic hours, in that we usually avoid the morning extra magic hours. I'll look on the calendar to find out where they are so that we don't go to that park.
I'm with you there, Ed, because the morning extra magic hours, Disney is telling people what park they want you to go to.
Correct. Now, what's good about this, there's a good and the bad. The good part is, guess what park I'm going to go to the very next day?
The one that had the extra magic hour yesterday, right?
Correct. Yeah. The extra magic hours, either in the morning or night, I'm going to go to that park the next day, because almost everybody on property that weren't sure where to go went to that park. And, you know, that usually gives you a little bit of a break the next day. Maybe not as much during these 10 days, but, you know, it's something to think about.
We usually do the same exact thing. We avoid the morning extra magic hour parks, and the next day, that's the park that we usually hit. And it usually works out wonderful for us. And amazing, because everybody else has gone on to the next park that has the extra magic hours.
Right, right. So that's a good thing to think about, definitely. Night times, we will use those, though, and basically for the reasons that Sam gave, in that people start leaving the park at that time, right after, you're right, the last parade usually. Now, something I noticed for these busy times coming up on the schedule, and I'm not sure if it's Disney doing it to do something with the crowds, is they've switched, and this is the Magic Kingdom only, they switched the parade and the fireworks. Mm-hmm. So the fireworks are first, then followed by the parade. So that's going to be an odd situation. I've never done it that way before. Usually we're doing the parade, and then we're gathering to watch the fireworks. So it's going to be interesting.
And I've seen them parade second time. So Main Street would go at 8, fireworks at 9, Main Street again at 10. I have seen that in the past on busy days.
Oh, sure. But fireworks first.
Yeah, that's
okay. Interesting.
There you go.
So now, and we mentioned parade, so let's even mention this now. If you don't want to watch the parade, that's a prime time to get on the
rides. Absolutely.
Absolutely. When the parade is going on, when we were there a few weeks ago, because we went before the cruise and then again after the cruise for a couple of days, and during the parade, we hit all of Frontierland, Adventureland, and we got all of those knocked out while the parade was going on. So it worked out really perfect for us because I was one of those people that had to fit in a whole lot in one or two days of time. So that worked out well for me.
Okay, so one more point, and this is one that could help you out a little bit or not, but I prefer to rent a car when I go down to Walt Disney World and not take the buses, especially when it's going to be as crowded as it's going to be when we go down this time. Actually, the way we're getting around it, since we're staying off property, is we're going to probably get dropped off at the Contemporary for our day at the Magic Kingdom.
Sure.
And just walk mm-hmm. over there, and then get picked up at midnight at the Contemporary again. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. But when you're taking a bus from the resort, and every room in that resort is crowded and full, and then the buses will be also. So got to keep that in mind. Hopefully your family can travel with that. Or, like I said, you can rent a car, or if you're driving down, you got a mid.
Right. That's probably one reason I will always have a car with me when I am visiting Walt Disney World is for the crowd reasons, to be able to avoid the buses at the closing time when everybody's trying to get back to their resorts. You know, it might take me a little bit longer to go from the Magic Kingdom over to the parking, but by the time I get to my car, I can get to my resort in just a few minutes compared to maybe still waiting on my bus. And so that is a big win for me.
Yep, I agree. Totally.
So we really didn't talk about it, Ed, but I think it's important to pace, right? Especially with young kids and as it gets warmer. And a lot of times we talk about you hit a park in the morning, you go back to the resort to sort of replenish, jump in a swimming pool, and then go back to a park after. And there's a couple of different ways that I've approached this in the past. And a couple of times it would be, okay, we're going to go to Animal Kingdom for a morning, and we're going to go right back to Safari, then we're going to try to ride Dinosaur and maybe something over on that side of the park or catch a show. I don't think I need FastPass Pluses to get that done in a morning. So instead, I'm going to pick my FastPasses in the evening for Epcot because I'm going to go to Animal Kingdom, spend time there, go back to the resort, then catch that 6 p.m. Test Track FastPass over at Epcot.
Absolutely.
So I've done things like that quite a bit too. That forces me to break the day up. And believe it or not, there have been times when we were at the Magic Kingdom late the night before and said, you know what, we're not going to go to Animal Kingdom. We're just going to hang out here and then go catch that fast pass and dinner that we have at Epcot. Mm-hmm. So there's ways like that, too. And that's another set the expectation. I'm not going to park all day long.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings up another point that it won't work for everybody. But for us, park hopping is one of the ways we deal with crowds. Of course, I plan. I'll pay attention to touring plans and even my Disney Experience wait times. But if we get to a park and it is more crowded than we expected it to be, and we are just, you know, wall to wall in people, we park hop to somewhere that doesn't have that. And I know that doesn't work for all families, but for us, park hopping is one of my crowd tamers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with that totally. A lot of times you can plan your day out around that so easily, and you're right. It's just easy enough to kind of skip to a different park.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you another one that I was thinking, because that's sort of with little kids, you go back to the resort. And adults could do that too. But I have two other things that I like to do when it's my wife and I. If you're in Magic Kingdom or Epcot, and there's two ways to do this. You get to the park somewhat early. You ride a couple of attractions. Then at Epcot, I love to sneak out of the International Gateway and take a little stroll around the Epcot resorts.
Mm-hmm.
Swing by Beaches and Cream, grab a No Way Jose, which is one of my favorite ice cream treats on property. Stroll around the boardwalk, go visit the Swan and Dolphin. It gives you the ability to relax, mm-hmm. sort of take in what's going on, and it gets you out of the park for a little while. And likewise, over at Magic Kingdom, jump on that monorail and do the monorail crawl. Just visit the resorts right around the monorail.
And I just want to preface that because we used to do the monorail crawl all the time. However,
recently,
in the last year and a half, it's been very difficult to find a monorail that actually makes it around the loop without having to stop for unknown reasons.
So walk to the Contemporary.
There you go.
Same thing. But you know, but, you can walk back.
And it is a great idea. Even taking a ride over to Epcot from the Magic Kingdom is a cool little ride.
Yeah.
You know, just it kind of breaks the day up, and there's only going to be so many people on the monorail, so you're going to be able to break away from the crowds for a little bit.
Right.
Okay, well, here's another tip I have. On the days like this, when it's going to be so crowded, if you've been to Disney World before, this will help you out a little bit, because you don't necessarily have to go on every ride now. Maybe this is the trip you're going to start paying attention to some of those shows. Now, I'm talking about the movie shows over in Epcot, Magic Kingdom, things like the Hall of Presidents, over at Epcot again, the American Experience, those big shows that have the big rooms and a lot of seating.
Right.
What's that going to do is make sure that you get inside probably in only one set of line weight, meaning you're only going to be on that line that one cycle. Most of the shows also have schedules, so you have a great idea when they're going to start and when you need to be there to get on that line. And they're very refreshing, especially when it gets warm and there's a lot of crowds.
Right. This World Showcase in Epcot is just a great way to avoid crowds anyway when you kind of get back into the back of the pavilions in World Showcase. You know, you wander through the back of Morocco or go check out the waterfall in Canada. Those kind of things really can take you away from that crowded feel. If you just spend a little time seriously check out those different pavilions and spend a little bit more time than just walking through and grabbing, you know, your favorite snack or something.
Oh, very true. Now, stretch it out to the Animal Kingdom, where maybe you're going to spend a little extra time on those walking trails.
Right.
Or maybe the Nemo, Friends with Nemo, the Living Seas exhibit. Spend some more time looking at the actual aquarium as opposed to the shows in there.
And at Animal Kingdom, a great thing is to get on the train and go out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. It is I have never seen that place crowded, ever. And I have been in the park when it has been a 10. So, and for us to escape out there where there was, yes, there was people, but it was nothing like the front of the park would be. And so definitely check out those things. If you've been to Walt Disney World before, you've done other things, start taking time to do the new things that you haven't experienced yet.
Oh, definitely. One of the things we have on our list for the Magic Kingdom Day is going to Tom Sawyer Island. We haven't been there in probably about 10 years, and we're looking forward to doing that.
You know, if the crowds are a 10 and you're over on Tom Sawyer Island, there's, you know, flip of a coin chance that Aunt Polly's might be open the counter service.
Yay.
Over there.
Oh, very true. Very true. Now, Sam actually tipped off another thing really quick that you guys should be aware of. When it does get really, really crowded at Walt Disney World, there are times when they do close the parks, meaning they close the entrance where nobody else can come in until, I guess, a certain amount of people actually leave. So when you do your planning, kind of keep that in mind. It's great to get back out of the park for a rest to the hotel, but coming back to the Magic Kingdom might not be that easy. It doesn't happen often, but just keep that in mind.
So as far as closings go, there's actually phases that they go through when the park gets busy. The first phase is actually out at the automotive toll plazas. So if you're a casual visitor, you don't have a ticket, and you're looking to buy a single day pass, they actually won't even let you into the parking lot. That's where they start. But they will if you're an annual pass holder, if you're staying at one of their resorts, or if you have a multi-day ticket, those types of things. The next phase goes to the turnstiles themselves, where you're only going to get through if you are a Disneyland guest at one of the resorts, an annual pass holder, or you've already been in the park that day. They'll let you back in. Then phase three closing, again at the turnstiles, they'll only let you in if you're a Disneyland guest or an annual pass holder. The phase four closure is where they close arrivals to everyone. And that's only happened one time in the last 5 years, and that was April 7th, 2009. So that was Easter Sunday, 2009. That's the last time that happened. But other than that, you can still get in. Although days when it gets to that phase three where you have to be staying at a resort or have to be an annual pass holder or have to have a reservation of some sort in the park, That's pretty common around Christmas. It's pretty common, actually, the most common day on the list, 4th of July and December 31st. So those are your really, really busy times down there. So be aware.
Sure, sure. I came up with another tip real quick, too, before we end up tonight. If the fireworks are at the end of the day for the Magic Kingdom, which we were just talking how they switched up the schedule, but normally they're at the end, watching them off or outside the park might be a good way to avoid that crowd, the big mob getting out of the park afterwards. We've watched them from the beaches over at the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian, but one of the best places we watched them from, which is really an odd thing to think about, was the Ticket and Transportation Center. When you get off the ferry boat and you walk up that little hill there, if you stand on that hill, you see the Magic Kingdom perfectly with the castle. And they have the music piped in, so it's really a really great spot to watch them from.
That is a really great tip for the people that are still stroller using strollers or people that are using ECVs and wheelchairs. Because when that rush comes out, it's really hard for the people that are wheeled. So it is a great tip for stroller moms, for people in wheelchairs to go ahead and get on over to the TTC and watch the fireworks there. And then they're already at transportation. So it works out really great.
Right. And I got to tell you, if you're still in the park after the fireworks or after the parade or whatever is the last thing during these 10 times, you're going to have a real hard time getting out. So you're probably not going to want to even try to face the crowds. Maybe hit a store, hit a restaurant, get back in the park, do a ride for maybe about a half hour, hour.
Ed, it's what I tell my kids every time. Do you want to stand in line for an attraction or go stand in line for the bus? Because we're going to stand either way. So you might as well get an attraction knocked out and then go out to the bus. Do that every time.
Very good. Yep. Awesome. Also, when you leave the Magic Kingdom, don't take the monorail if you're going to the Ticket Transportation Center. Wait for the next ferry. It will be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Faster, a cool view. Yeah, I'm with you.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I think a lot of people need to remember that, especially in the Magic Kingdom on Main Street. All those stores are connected together. So you can get off Main Street and kind of weave your way in through the stores to get from one end to the other.
Oh, definitely. If you're facing a castle, the left side is much better. As far as getting through, it's got a better pathway. However, I'm still thinking with the 10 crowds, any way out is going to be difficult. However, what you might get is a view of the backstage. On a crowded day like that, as opposed to going down Main Street, they'll take you out past where the Crystal Palace kind of hits Tomorrowland. There's that entranceway there, kind of where Tinkerbell ends her trip up every night. And which is pretty cool to see back there. It's something different.
Especially, Ed, with the new hub. With that second loop around the hub, that's exactly where they filter people through. If you want to go down Main Street, head this way, or the second outside hub loops around everybody and goes down that backstage area. And it really, although it feels like it's been there all along, it really improves traffic flow incredibly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very true.
Because now you can even, when the parade's happening, you can even get around. Because the center hub is where the parade goes, and now you have this outside area, so you can sort of still walk around there while the parade's happening.
And it looks amazing even now. I mean, hopefully they'll just keep replacing that grass, and they'll just keep everything looking really, really sharp. Okay, well, that's it for this week's show. We hope that we gave you at least one or two tips that you could take down with you on these crowded park days. If you want to get in touch with the show, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
It's time! It is time once again for this sensational, inspirational Disney Nerds Podcast's annual March tournament. And this year, it's bigger, badder, and better than ever. Disney Character Madness. That's right. We're picking the ultimate Disney character. And to do it, the tournament is bigger than ever. With 8 brackets of 16 teams, that's 128 characters. Twice the brackets, twice the fun, twice the madness. Who will be the ultimate Disney character? Our brackets will include Muppets, Pixar, classic Disney villains, princesses, Marvel, Star Wars, and theme park characters. With so many characters, how do we determine who gets in? You. Yes, you. We need you to help with the qualification round. And here's what we need you to do. Head over to DisneyMadness.com. That's right, DisneyMadness.com. Vote for up to 16 characters in each of the 8 categories. Your input will determine who gets in and who stays home. Oh, and by the way, if we miss somebody, there's a write-in category. So we are including every Disney character. Oh, this is going to be good. Hang on. March 2016 promises to be the ultimate Disney Nerds Podcast Character Madness. Remember, head to DisneyMadness.com today because qualification ends February 29th, 2016. Head on over today. Kongaloosh! Oh, this is going to be fun.